So let's go to 1 Peter. And I'd like to share with you and talk with you tonight about the treasure of God's Word. The treasure of God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 1. I know I mentioned this morning you remove the resurrection from Christianity and Christianity would fall flat. I believe it is also understood and important for us to realize that you take the Word of God away from Christianity and the same would be true. We would not have the substance, the life-giving substance here that keeps us nourished. As you live your life as a Christian, and I'm doing the same thing, I know that life can be very busy, life can be hard, and so often it is the busyness and the hardness of life that the result of that, our response to that, is less in the Word. We withdraw from that because we are responding to the things that are taking place in the here and the now, the physical. Maybe that's not true for you, but it can be true for me. You know, one thing that I really struggle with is sleep. Anybody struggle with sleep? When you're going through a busy time and a hard time, and just every hour is labeled, it's got something. And so then you've got to figure out how to get everything done. And yet, I need sleep. You know, and the doctors say you've got to get a good night's rest. You need to have whatever hours they say now, right? And so there will be times when I will sacrifice time in the Word so that I can get the proper amount of sleep. Am I the only one that's ever done that, or have you experienced that? I'm just being real with you. That's a real part of life, a struggle for me. Because I know when I'm not sleeping, I get sick and all of this stuff. And you know, the reality is that God understands these things. God knows my body and what it needs. And I, in the tension that is in my life is between the physical and the spiritual. And this tension is a good tension that we have in our life. I want to say, if you don't have that tension, then either you're not a real person, or something's wrong with your relationship with God. Because you need to have that tension, that draw to be in the Word, to be eating, to have the appetite. You don't have the appetite, then what's wrong? What's wrong with the relationship? And of course, if you don't have the physical, then you're not a real person. So the tension is real for a Christian. Tonight, in this passage, I trust that we will be pushed and prodded to make sure we are taking care of our spiritual nourishment, to make sure that we are well fed and sustained. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is as much for me as it is for you. I need this. You need this. 1 Peter, it's written to believers that have been scattered throughout Asia during the time of Nero, we believe. And when you think of Nero, you've been through history class. Nero is not friendly towards Christians. Peter's seeking to challenge and encourage these believers as they're facing persecution for their faith. A very real pressure upon people, oppressing upon them because they are Christians. It's nothing else but because they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And realize, church, realize this is not so far removed from us today. I mean, in fact, we've got people in our own church that are feeling this very thing. Because you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you feel this pressure. The beginning portion of chapter 1 deals with a real hope, the living Christ, a real future, we have a living inheritance, and a real joy, we have a living faith. And you can look through the beginning portion of that chapter, chapter 1, to find the living Christ, the living inheritance, the living faith. And then, because of our salvation, we realize that we need to have a focused mind, a holy life, and a reverent fear of God. So basically, what I just did was summarize the first part of chapter 1. So now, beginning in verse 22, we ask ourselves this question. Do we really understand the value of God's word in our lives? Do we really understand that? Is it a treasure? Is it a value, great value? Let's look at that passage together. Beginning in verse 22, we read this. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof it falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 1 of chapter 2 continues, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. From this passage tonight, we're going to see that God's word, are these four things at least. God's word is purifying. It has a purifying effect in a person's life. We like that. This is good. It's purifying. Secondly, we see that God's word is eternal. It's everlasting. It has that kind of duration through all time and cultures. It's eternal. Thirdly, we see that God's word is good news. Good news. So when you pick up the word of God and you dig into it and you spend time in it, you realize that the message of the Bible is good. Good news. And fourthly, we realize that God's word is maturing. In other words, it has that effect in a person's life. It has a maturing effect in your life. So let's dig in. Let's see it. First of all, God's word is purifying. Verse 22. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, you might look at that and you might say, well, where's the word of God in there? Well, I want to draw your attention to a phrase right there in the middle of the verse, it says this, the truth through the Spirit. You see that there? The truth through the Spirit. If you remember, back when Jesus was exhorting his disciples, he's preparing them for when he was to be crucified and eventually go away to heaven and leave them. As he was preparing them, one of the things he told them, he gave them this promise, I will send to you the Comforter. And he is going to remind you of what I have said. And in a very real sense, church, the Spirit of God is working with the Word of God so that we can understand God's truth. So God inspired the Word of God so that it is written down, and the Spirit of God is working with the Word of God to help us understand God's truth. And so understanding that we see God's Word embedded right there as the truth through the Spirit, seeing then you have purified your souls. And so the Word of God, this truth that comes through the Spirit, is purifying to our souls as we obey it. It has that kind of effect. And notice something here. Obeying it. You can spend all day in the Word of God, and you can know that it is purifying, but I will tell you that if you do not obey it, you will not experience the purification of it. I mean, church, we have a responsibility here to apply ourselves or apply what God's truth, apply it to our life, to obey what it says. You know, sometimes we can be afraid to turn to the Word of God because we're afraid of what it might say, what we'll have to do. Right? It's a powerful book. It's a living book. It's like a sword, we're told. It's got that piercing effect. So it's purifying, but you need to obey it. Obey, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And in direct application for this church that Peter is writing to, for these believers, he is saying, unto an unfeigned love. The results for these folks and the results for us as we obey the truth through the Spirit is a unfeigned love. A sincere, a love that is not hypocritical of the brethren. That's a relation-driven love. That's Philadelphia love. It's a love that is seen between people. And it has that kind of effect. When you are obeying the Word of God, you will see this kind of love come forth. This verse actually contains Philadelphia, unfeigned love of the brethren. Love of the brethren is that. And then the next phrase contains the agape love. Look at it. It says, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So in other words, as you obey the Word of God, it has the purifying effect so that there is a love for the brothers, which comes out of this commitment-driven love, this agape love, with a pure heart fervently. So as the Word of God is working, stirring in your heart and in your mind, it is purifying you. And in helping you, it drives you to love with a commitment. And as you love with a commitment, it is seen with as a brotherly type love. So let's get real practical. How is your love for the brother? Well, if you're struggling with the love for the brethren, dig deeper, ask yourself this question. One, do you have a pure heart? Are you obeying the truth? Are you obeying the truth through the Spirit? If you're not obeying the truth through the Spirit, then you will struggle to love. So God's Word is purifying. It is a treasure that we need in our lives. We need the scrub bath. We need that full cleansing of God's Word, and we need it often. Because I tell you, this world is dirty and it leaves the dust upon us, doesn't it? In Lesotho, on the way to church, we got to remember here, either we picked somebody up alongside the road to give them a ride, or we had to give somebody a ride. However it was, I ended up in the back. And we're riding in a Land Rover. I'm in my church clothes now, just a collared shirt, dress pants. I'm sitting on top of the luggage. It's like a pickup truck with a cap on it. And I left the back open. All the roads are dirt. And I don't know why this happens. Perhaps you scientific-minded people. I don't know why, but somehow the dust just comes right around and just right in. I don't know why it does that, but it does. And so there I am in my church clothes, and I'm just got this nice little film of dust all over. And, you know, I'm all dressed up, but this dust is dirty, and I needed a cleansing. I needed just a dust off and a purifying. Dear ones, listen. We need this. We need it. We need the purifying Word of God in our life. And we need to realize it has that effect. And I know that can be scary for us. I know that we may be facing decisions and hard times or relationships in our life right now. And perhaps we don't want to deal with things. Will you trust the Word of God to clean you in just the right way, to purify you, to give you a pure heart fervently, to give you a commitment-driven love for the brother, a love that is seen as a brother-to-brother family type love? Will you trust the Word of God with your life? God's Word is purifying. What else is it? God's Word is eternal. Now, this is meaningful because we... all of life, everything we see and everything we touch is not eternal, doesn't last. Our bodies, these physical bodies, die. They are decaying. I am well past my prime, and I realize it. Yeah, you guys, I'm not answering that question, but I'm just telling you how I feel, all right? When I try to get up off the ground after playing with the kids, it is awful slow these days. And I'm a little frustrated with that. Oh boy. All right, so I guess we'll scratch that off the tape, all right? God's word is eternal, though. It lasts. And you know what? That is something we can have in our life, and we can trust it. You know what? This is enduring. It's enduring. And it's been that way. You know, this is not some new thing all of a sudden. This has been around. It's been around. And it's from God. But look at the text. It says this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, verse 23. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospels preached unto you. This is enduring. I mean, how many things can you say in life are this way? Enduring. Notice how Peter presents this point. He begins by talking about how we are born again. And we're born again, not of a corruptible seed or something that is perishing, but of something that is not perishing. It's by the word of God. That use of the word seed is that which has the ability or quality of growing into something more. Growing into something more. And so you see that this is a incorruptible seed. It is going to, it grows into something more, and it's not going to go away. And so as we think of the enduring effect of God's word upon our life, we know that it will continue its work in us because it is lasting, because it is eternal. It's not going to run out of energy like a Duracell. It will continue. Notice it says it lives and abides forever. It has that vigor and it has that strength forever. It abides in that it dwells with, it remains, it tarries. We don't have to worry about it leaving. It's there. God's word endures forever. This is exciting because of the idea that so much around us falls apart, but we know God's word never will. You see the illustration that he gives there about grass. All flesh is as grass. And you know, that's what I was saying. My flesh, it will wither. As you look at the illustration, how he gives it, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. So flesh is as grass, the glory of man. Glory of man is the things we're proud of. The things that we think, hey, we've got it. We've got the strength. The things we're excited about physically in our persons. When a person reaches his prime and he reaches the peak, that's going to go away. It's going to fall away. And the image is that of like a flower. As it grows and it gets the flower and it's the crowning achievement of that stalk. It's got the flower. But the thing is, that flower will fade away, wither and fall. And the grass dies. And so is life, because we grow like that blade of grass. And we reach the crowning achievements of life, our strength, our peak, and it's the flower, and it is beautiful, and we are excited about it. And again, it is the way God has designed it, except now sin has a decaying effect upon it, so that it doesn't remain that way, but it falls, it withers, falls, and so the stalk dies, and then it is gone. That's in contrast to the Word of God. That's the illustration Peter uses here. It's the contrast. That's not how the Word of God is. The Word of God endures. It lasts. That's a treasure you can always count on. Did you hear that? You can always count on the Word of God. Always. Because it's lasting. It's enduring. It is eternal. Well, thirdly, we see that God's Word is good news. It is good news. Our God is good. How often do you have to tell yourself that? I find myself, as we go through a difficult time, or as I see folks in the church going through difficult times, I have to remind myself that my God is good. And so His Word is good. And so His Word is good news for my life and for your life. Do we embrace that? Do we accept that as a good news? You know, sometimes we may push on that, push back, because we question whether it is really good news. But won't you believe it? Look at the text, end of verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word. Now in verse 25, that word, you like that? That word is rhema, which is used often to speak of the actual words and the vocalization of the words. And it's so very fitting in the context, because we see that this is the word, rhema, which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so not only do we realize that God's word is good news, but the preaching of God's word is good news. And so we realize how important it is to be under the preaching of God's word, because it is good news for us. I get that good news from what we see there, the gospel. And again, as I referenced this morning, when you see gospel, you need to think good news. Preaching here is the proclamation of the good news. And as Peter says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. By the gospel, by that good news, the gospel is proclaimed. And it's proclaimed unto you. God's word is a treasure because it is good news. It's good news for your life, and it's good news for the world. Fourthly, we see God's word is maturing, or it helps us to grow. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is just a minor thing, kind of a side note, but did you hear how I just read that? I actually read it wrong. I read it incorrectly. And I want to encourage you to practice this. Do you read the Word of God out loud ever? You ever do that? You know, so maybe you read together with your spouse or something like that. I encourage you to do that, because when you're hearing the Word of God in your ears and not just in your mind, it's helpful. And when you're reading the Word of God, you get to know and understand the different emphasis. Listen to this. Verse 2, I just read it this way. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, that's how I read it first time. Now listen, let me read it this way. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Is there a difference? There is, isn't there? You know why you can do that? It's because that word desire has a lot of power in it, doesn't it? But you got to take some time, student of the scriptures. You got to take some time to look at that and dig in a little bit. Because it really changes when you realize that that is an imperative. That word desire is a command. It comes across with this is something you need to do. All right, so verse 1, how does that fit? If we're talking about how God's word has a maturing effect in our life, it helps us to grow. Verse 1 helps us realize that sometimes, many times maybe, our lives are not where they ought to be. I don't think Peter is just speaking here to a void and just throwing this abstractly. I think he understands that many people deal with this, that their lives are marred. And these, I believe, would be Christians, are marred by stuff like malice. We don't use that word today. So let me give you some words that we would understand. Wickedness or evil actions. Can Christians have that kind of thoughts and actions in their life? Sadly, yes. How about guile? What is guile? Guile is to debate, to lead someone to believe something that is not real. Deceit, lies, promotion of false precepts or ideas for personal gain. Yeah, that can be true too. What else do you see there? Hypocrisies. Hypocrisies, pretenders. You're pretending that you're something or someone that you're really not. And you're doing that with the intention to really deceive others and promote yourself. You want to make yourself look good. It's real easy to do that, guys. That'd be real easy. Because we really like to look good. We like to preserve our pride. So you see malice, you see guile, you see hypocrisies, you see envyings, jealousy. One commentator defined it this way: jealousy, pain felt, and malignity conceived at the sight of excellence or happiness. Can Christians experience envy in their life? Yes. How about evil speakings? Speaking evil of or slandering, backbiting, can this be true of us? Yes, it can. You mean at first read, when you're reading through this passage, you look at that verse and you're like, what? How does that fit? But I believe what Peter is doing is he's helping us as readers to realize that there are times when we are just not right. There are things in our life that do not belong. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to realize that these kinds of things are not a part of our lives. This is childish. This is the way children are. This is what they resort to get their way. We ought not to remain as children, but to grow. And the Word of God is your answer. It's your nourishment. And that fits right in with what he says in verse 2, as newborn babes. We understand that as a church. We've got many. We've had many. Newborn babes. And we realize they are hungry. And they're hungry all the time. They long to be fed. And they let you know it. Right? They let you know, we're hungry. What do we eat? Want to eat? As newborn babes, it says. So Peter is taking us to that state, and he says, remember your babies as they desired the milk from the mama's breast. So you desire the sincere milk of the word. I began the message by talking about the reality of the tension in a Christian's life between the physical realities that I need sleep to the realities that I need spiritual nourishment. And this visualization of the baby, and it's a sincere desire. Hey, I'm hungry and I want the milk. I need the milk. And nothing has to tell that baby to do that. It's just natural. And dear ones, this ought to be natural for us. And if you are a true Christian tonight, you're going to be experiencing that tension in your life because it is natural for a Christian to desire the Word of God. It's natural for us. And so, desire the sincere milk, the Word. That is, you know, what kind of milk is that? What's sincere milk? I've never seen that label in the store. Sometimes you do wonder what you're getting, don't you? But we don't have to wonder with the Word of God. It is genuine. It is pure. It is not mixed with anything that is unholy. It is purely the Word of God. And so desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Growth. It is natural for children to want to grow. Nothing has to tell them that. It is automatic. It is natural and programmed within. They're going to grow. They want to eat and they want to grow. And so, Christian, it is natural to desire the Word of God, and it is natural to grow. Are you growing? Are you growing? When you're not feeding yourself on the Word of God and receiving its nourishment, growth is stunted. It is stunted. So we see here, God's Word, it has a purifying effect. It is eternal. It's enduring. It is good news. It has a maturing effect in our lives. Verse 3 of chapter 2, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Carrying on with that illustration of nourishment, Peter uses the term tasted. That when the milk enters within and the baby tastes that milk. Have you ever seen a baby taste something other than its mother's milk for the first time? We always are excited for those moments in our family because you get faces that are so worthy of pictures. Right? And you get their tongues and they're just grimacing because it's not mama's milk. And so, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is a sense that we understand, and it is a sense that now is spiritually applied when we understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's grace plays a key role in our growth. Because we will take the Word of God, and we are hungry for the Word of God, and we will apply the Word of God in our life. But if we don't understand and realize the grace of God, if God is not gracious in our lives, then where are we going to be? We need the grace of God. And so, dear ones, if you're struggling with, you know what? I don't have an appetite for the Word of God. I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to do an inventory in your life, asking yourself this question: where have I seen God's grace in my life? And I have seen God's grace here. I have seen God's grace here. I have seen God's grace here. And I, as you meditate and realize that God has been gracious to you, I believe that will begin to foster again an appetite, because you need the Word of God to grow. But that growth happens within the sphere of God's grace. So you're struggling tonight? Take an inventory of the grace of God in your life. Meditate on that. Enjoy His grace. And I believe God will give you an appetite, because you realize that, yes, He has been so gracious to me. So, you pure tonight? Or shall I say, dirty, dusty, need to be purified and cleaned? God's word is your answer. You excited about the things of this life, but realize they are failing. God's word never will fail, it endures. Tired of all the bad news? Go to the Word of God, because it's the good news. Not growing? Not hungry for the Word of God? It's a chore to spend time in His Word. Take this truth. Meditate on the Word of God right here. You can forget anything that I've said, but go to this scripture here and embrace what it says, that you may grow thereby. And ask God to show you His grace. Ask God to give you this appetite for His word again, so that you may grow. God, thank you for the word of God. And I thank you for teaching and challenging us tonight. I needed this tonight. I know, Lord, how we wrestle through what to preach on. And I'm just amazed that you directed me to this text tonight. It had to be purposeful, and I know it has been for me. And I pray it has been for others in this place. Lord, it is what you've wanted us to hear tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.